From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns with you, welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening today as we turn again to John chapter 2, the section verse 12 through 22, to deal with Christ's cleansing of the temple and the significance that it has for us today. First, however, I return to a subject that I have mentioned before in our hot topics, North Korean killers. North Korea has slipped out of the news headlines recently as major powers such as China, Japan, and America seek to negotiate with the communist dictator who rules the country to halt his development of nuclear weapons. But while the eyes of the world may be temporarily averted, the reality on the ground in North Korea has not changed. The North Korean regime is a brutal dictatorship. It has waded to its present position of unchallenged power through oceans of blood, especially the blood of Christians. It appears that the communists in Pyongyang have a special fear and a special hatred of Christians. One mission agency reports that over the last number of years, thousands of Christians have been put to death, while thousands more are forced to serve in labor camps. The latest reports tell of a man who was an evangelist, but who probably was no more than an evangelist to his immediate family. Anyway, he was caught with three New Testaments in his possession and was executed. A Christian general who witnessed to his troops was summarily shot by a fellow officer. Then a girl and her grandmother, who were doing their laundry at a riverside, dropped a New Testament by mistake and were reported to the authorities. Both of them were put to death. This is the situation in North Korea today. The regime is barbaric and is determined to eradicate all possible sources of dissent. But even as it murders innocent believers, the communist regime carries the seeds of its own defeat. Reports tell of a deepened interest in the gospel, of people coming to Christ, turning to Him despite the danger in which it places them. Seeing the obvious emptiness of their government-controlled lives, some North Koreans are looking for deeper and better answers than communism has to offer to the needs of their hearts, and they're finding their answer in Christ. It takes courage to be a Christian in North Korea, but the Lord can enable His people to stand, and as Paul said, having done all, to stand. The father of my colleague in our Korean Free Presbyterian Church here in Greenville was a North Korean pastor when communists first took over. They gathered a crowd of 100,000 people and commanded him to speak to them in praise of the regime and in denunciation of America. When the time came, he spoke out bravely against communism. He escaped with his life. Just about, and went on to have a powerful ministry in South Korea. But his story lets you see what courageous stands ordinary men and women are called upon to take in the face of a cruel foe. It also serves to remind us that what is now North Korea, when Korea was under the brutal tyranny of Japan between 1910 and 1945, was the most spiritually blessed part of the nation. Those people saw revival. Where communism now exercises its scorched earth policy of government, the gospel of Christ once produced lasting fruit. Pray that God will visit that land again and will protect His faithful people from the vicious cruelty of a bloodthirsty dictator. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. In our latest issue of the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, we're dealing with the book of Psalms primarily. There are other things that will be of great interest to you, but we're dealing with a study of the Psalms. One of the great problems Christians have in reading the Old Testament is finding Christ in the Old Testament. Here you'll find a very informative article on the Psalms and the Savior. We invite you to write or call for your free copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We'd like to hear from you. And now it's time to turn back to John chapter 2. We have noted that Christ chased the corruptors of the temple. First, his zeal displayed his powerful anger. The second thing is, his zeal led to pertinent action. And now we come to the third point. His zeal demonstrated his personal authority.
Then the third thing. This zeal demonstrated Christ's personal authority. He took a scourge. Now the old painters must say, I can appreciate this. I don't like paintings of Christ, but I can appreciate what they're trying to do here. The old painters represent Christ as whipping the traitors. And there's something in us that likes to think that those fellows across a certain part of their anatomy felt the welt. But you know, I'm not sure that that actually happened. I think it's much more probable that while he did make the scourge and drove them out, it's much more probable that it was not a weapon. After all, he didn't need that. It was more likely that it was used to control the animals and direct them, get them out. I think personally the owners were constrained to run under a much, much stronger constraint than the fear of being hit by that fairly insignificant little whip. What was that constraint? Many people come up with answers. Some have said, well, their own conscience condemned them. Well, that's true. The question of verse 18, I think, would give that away. They showed, what sign do you give us for doing this? You know, in asking that question, they're saying, if you can prove yourself to be indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, then we could understand you would have a right to throw all this stuff out of the temple. So, yeah, their own conscience condemned them. But I wouldn't place too much credit on the consciences of men like these. Because the evidence is Christ had to come back at the end of his ministry and do the whole thing again. So as soon as they got the chance, they were back in to do it at the next Passover. These men have very little conscience. Some people think, well, the Jews always had a great regard for a prophet, and here was one who had all the marks of a prophet, so that overcame him. Christ already had a reputation. Probably the news from Cana had come down with him. And some people are already asking, is this the Messiah? So that would have overcome them. Those things may be true, they may not. I don't know, but one thing I do know is true. That the Lord Jesus Christ had a profound and an even irresistible power over man. This is evident again and again. Remember in John chapter 7? The Pharisees, etc., sent out people to Christ to arrest him. And then the officers that they sent came back empty-handed. They said, where is he? They simply said, can you hear the awe in their voice as they said it? Never man spake like this man. Now these were hard-bitten men. They were there to arrest him. And it wasn't the fear of the crowd. It wasn't that they couldn't or didn't think they could overcome the logistical problems of getting him to a place where they could actually arrest him. What overcame them was simply the presence, the majesty, and the power and the authority of Christ. Never man spake like this man. There's an even more outstanding example in John 18. In the Garden of Gethsemane, verses 4 through 6. Jesus, knowing that all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And why, that's good translation. And it's necessary. The he is italicized. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. And he stepped forth and said, I am. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now what could cause that? Just the sheer authority. The sheer majesty. the person of Christ. You know this when you walk into the presence of a great man, where you feel the moral force and superiority of his character. Some people can impose you with their dress, their uniform, their office. But those are all just trappings. The thing that really imposes itself upon you is that moral and spiritual superiority. I've often said to you that when, as young ministers, we had the opportunity to spend hours and then 2 whole weeks in prayer with the late Jordan Khan of India, it overwhelmed our hearts. And I think in many ways changed our lives. Jordan Khan had no money. When he went to a church, he never asked for money. To be quite honest, when they gave him money, he would not even say thank you. Not, I think, to be ill-mannered. But that wasn't his focus. But when you went into his presence, his eyes burned like coals of fire. You were subdued. If that could be felt in the presence of a mere sinner, what must it have been to stand in the presence of incarnate deity, the authority of the Lord Jesus? And if I may hearken back to the fact that the first coming points to the second, does that not help us grasp the force of what we read in Matthew 22, verse 12? When the Lord Jesus tells the parable about that marriage supper for the king's son, and the king comes in and he sees a man without a wedding garment, and he says, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. I hear an awful lot of arrogant nonsense talked by sinners who will stand before God, they say, and they say, "I am going to say this to the Lord, and I'm going to say the other thing to the Lord, and I'm going to ask him why this, and I'm going to inquire the other." My friend, let me tell you, when a sinner stands before God without a wedding garment, which is the righteousness of Christ, he'll only take the question, you'll be speechless. And if Christ in the days of his humiliation, by the sheer force of his personal superiority, could so still them, how much more when in all his glory he stands before us and we before him? Christ, in his zeal, showed his personal authority. That, of course, should give us some encouragement in the work of God and the witness of the gospel. For when Christ exerts that authority, men bow to his will. They bow to his will. That's why, you know, it is ultimately so foolish for churches to get sidetracked into marketing techniques. I get these things across my desk, and to be quite honest, it sickens me. You know, all the marketing people are out. We have learned how to market your church. You'll get bigger crowds. I have no doubt we could market a church to get bigger crowds. So what? So what? Marketing techniques, psychological techniques, all the little gimmicks, which takes the gospel from its high pedestal and brings it down into the gutter to make it merely a tool for making people feel better temporarily. That's not the gospel. Let me tell you this. I read in Mark chapter 2, it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And the people came and the work of God was done. Let it but be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. Let it be that when people come to this house, they meet and hear Jesus Christ. And when he exerts his authority, men will bow to his will. He can still every voice. He can silence every critic. Thank God he can satisfy every soul with the power and presence of his own personal authority. In a way, you know, that's a good definition of revival. That's what he does in every great movement of the Holy Ghost. It is that personal authority of Christ conveyed by his Spirit that overwhelms man. The words that are spoken will have an effect. I have been in meetings, and I would to God that these things were completely up to date and we could say, this is our experience every week. We need it now. My little bit of history is just that, unless it leads us to a present experience. But I remember the days in the 60s and 70s when the Free Church was under the opposition of the devil but was being greatly blessed of God. I remember holding gospel missions. Christ was there. The presence of God was there. When you throw up an old ex-army tent in a field miles out in the countryside, with just a few dim lights from a long lead that a neighboring farmer who knew nothing about us had been kind enough to supply from his supply. And the tufts of grass are sitting up between thick grass, between the rough old forms that you put in. The canvas swallows up the preacher's voice. It's like the most dead kind of atmosphere you can have. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the circumstances. There's nothing in a man-made atmosphere that's conducive to great results. But when you see sinners, drunkards, religious sinners, whatever, kneeling in the grass, crying to God to have mercy on their souls. And you see those lives transformed by the mighty grace and power of God. I want to tell you, my friend, there's only one explanation. That's the authority, the power of Christ exerted in his temple. Christ's zeal for the house of God is as great as ever it was. It is not just a zeal that shows itself in a powerful anger against the corruptors and the apostates. It is a zeal that shows itself in his personal authority that will bring man to obey His will and fall at His feet.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.